And I'm thankful for our blessed Rock of Ages. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. I've been dealing with this stupid cough. I can't get rid of it, but it only bothers me when I talk, which is a problem for me, Augie, because I talk a lot. So, y'all just pray for the cough, because I'm not going to quit talking. Wednesday night, I was dealing with it, and I was trying so hard not to cough into the microphone, and I covered it up and coughed right into the microphone. It was really effective, though. A lot of people woke up. So, I've always got that in my back pocket if I need it. Tonight, we move from chapter 5 into chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 this evening, we're going to study verses 1 through 4. In chapter 5, Jesus taught us about how that we're to be more righteous than the scribes and Pharisees, and that we need to have a righteousness that exceeds their righteousness. And it had to do with the what's inside of us and the righteousness that we possess. As we move into chapter 6, it moves more into a practice of our righteousness and how we're to live that righteousness out. And we're going to learn over the next several weeks about the giving of alms and about praying and about fasting and these deeds that we do as we live out the righteousness that Christ has placed on us. And so if you're able, let's stand together as we learn tonight about the right way to give alms. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you tonight. Thank you, Father, that you have blessed us and given so richly to us all things to enjoy. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be faithful in giving to those that are in need, giving to your work. And Father, that you will get all the honor and glory. Help us to learn tonight how to give with the right heart and the right way. Help me now, Father, for I'm nothing without you. Please bless. And Lord, help all of us to be changed by your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight, Jesus teaches us about how to give alms the right way. An alm is anything that's giving, being given to the relief of the poor. Today, we call alms charity. When you give to help somebody out. Now, maybe it's money, or it could also be serving somebody by donating your time to help others. It could be giving food or clothing. But anything you do to relieve those and help those who cannot help themselves, that is the giving of alms. Now, when we look at this tonight, I want to remind you of something we learned a couple of weeks ago. The Lord says that when somebody comes and asks help from you, that you help them and you don't turn them away. But when we studied that, we learned that that's not just a blanket statement. We've got to study the whole counsel of God. And God's not saying just to give to anybody that comes around and asks. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if any would not work, neither should he eat. And so there's a Bible principle that if you are able to work and to do good with your hands, you ought to do work and do what's good with your hands so that you can have your own to take care of yourself and your family. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says that if a man will not provide for his own, he is worse than an infidel. And so we understand that this isn't us supposed to be taking care of and providing for those who could provide for themselves, but they're just too lazy. That's not what this is about. It's also understood in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Bible spends a lot of time instructing the church and directly the young pastor Timothy in how to take care of widows. And he says you need to take care of widows that are widows indeed. He says if they have anybody at home that can take care of them, let their family take care of them, and don't let the church be charged for that. And so there's Bible principles that we understand. This isn't just go and help everybody in the world. No, we need to help those who really need help. We need to help those who really need help. But please, don't get the attitude that nobody out there needs help, because, friend, a lot of people really need help. We say, well, there's welfare and there's SNAP and there's all these different things. Yeah, that's true. There are. And a lot of people benefit from that. But there are people who need more help than that. And we read a verse this morning that said if somebody comes to you and they need food and clothing, and you say, be warmed and filled, but you don't meet their need, how are you helping them? How is the love of Christ in us if we don't care enough to actually help those in need? So when we think about alms tonight, I want you to think about helping those that are in need. And that's the heart that the Lord wants us to have. Notice, first of all, if you're taking notes, the responsibility of giving alms. We have a responsibility of members of the kingdom of God that we would give alms. First of all, he tells us to be thoughtful when we give our alms. In verse 1, he says, take heed. Take heed is something that ought to get your attention, by the way. When you see it in the Bible, when you see the words take heed, this is the same idea as when you walk up to somebody's gate, Brother Ryan, and it says, beware. It's the same idea. Take heed, beware. And Jesus, we might not think that this whole thing about giving alms is a big deal, but Jesus said, you need to pay attention. You need to beware. You need to take heed about your attitude, about your heart, and about your practice in giving of alms, because it's a big deal to God. God's word is replete with verses about those who would misuse and abuse the poor. God is the defender of the poor. And when we don't treat the poor right, we're putting ourselves in a bad position with God. And so he says, take heed. This is serious business. Think about how you give. This word, take heed, this phrase means to hold the mind towards. Beware. And he says, I want you to think about what you're doing. I want you to understand what I'm about to tell you is serious to me, so pay attention. It's very serious, and I think sometimes we miss it, but I want to tell you about Mrs. Judson, who was the wife to Adoniram Judson, who served about 40 years in Burma. And for years and years and years, they served there and didn't see anyone come to Christ. It's a very... It's Eastern religion, it's mysticism, it's Hinduism and that kind of thing there. And they labored for years and years and years before they saw someone saved. But finally, one came to Christ and was saved. And Mrs. Judson was sitting down and reading and studying Matthew chapter 6 with this convert. And he was deeply impressed. She said, a few days ago, I was reading with him Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 34. He was deeply impressed and solemn. And this is what the new convert said. These words, said he, take hold of my very heart. They make me tremble. When our people visit the pagodas, in other words, their Hindu places of worship, they make a great noise with trumpets. But this religion makes the mind fear God. He said, listen, when I read this verse, it makes my heart tremble. This makes my mind fear the God of the Bible. These words get a hold of me. So listen, we need to be thoughtful when it comes to giving of alms. We don't need to just be flippant about it and say, they got welfare. We don't need to help them. Amen? God says, this is serious business to me, and we need to be thoughtful about it. We don't need to be making snap judgments about these things. We need to be prayerful about it, considerate about it, and we need to look at every case and see, is there really a need here or is there not? And I'm not saying we just go out and give and give and give to anybody that comes around. No, but he says to take heed. How you give, be careful about it, be thoughtful about it. God cares how we care. It's easy to get burned. I tell you, I get frustrated sometimes in our society today. And I get frustrated with people who play the system. And I get frustrated with people who make a living from begging off of churches and kind-hearted people. I get frustrated with it. I get downright angry about it. And I understand that. And I get that. But we've got to be real careful, because God wants us to be careful how we think about this thing. Amen. We better be mindful, be thoughtful. And he also wants us to be faithful. I want you to notice what Jesus said. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. I don't know if you caught it, but in everything that Jesus said in verse 2, he said, therefore, when thou doest thine alms. There was never any thought in the mind of Jesus that you wouldn't give to the poor. As he brought his church up on the mountainside and he began to teach them these truths, and he talked to them about the righteousness that they possess, and he starts to talk to them about the righteousness that he wanted them to practice, he said, listen, when you do your alms, it never occurred to Jesus in teaching his people that he would have to tell them to give to the poor. When you are part of the kingdom of God, it's an automatic thing. You help people in need. It never even says, I want you to do this thing. It's just understood. This is what you do. You give your alms. You help those in need. You give alms to the poor. It's expected that you give alms. He doesn't say, if you do it. He says, when you do it. And so we understand that we should help them. In Galatians 2 and verse 10, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do. When they were dealing with the different churches and how they would work, and Peter and James were going to deal with the Jews, and Paul and Silas and Barnabas were going to deal with the Gentiles. He said, just remember, when you go out there to deal with the Gentiles, make sure you remember the poor. And he said, I already had a heart to do that. It's something I automatically do. I help people that are in need. And so it's something God expects us to do. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And this idea of visiting the fatherless and the widows, it doesn't just mean to go by and see them. It means to meet their needs. It means to help them. And so we have a responsibility to give thoughtfully. We have a responsibility to give faithfully. Next, would you notice with me the reason for giving alms? Sometimes the best way to see what the reason to do something is to look at the reason not to do it. And this is exactly what Jesus teaches us. What it is not. The reason to give alms is not to be seen of men. Do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do. Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. So what giving of alms is for, the reason behind it, is not so everyone can see how good and generous and wonderful you are. He said those that blow the trumpet, and that's what they would do literally. They would get out on the street corner, they would blow the trumpet, and they would say, oh, we got to let the poor know that we're here to give them some help. And certainly it did that. When they blew the trumpet, the people would come. But let me tell you something, friend. They didn't just blow the trumpet so people could know help was there. They blew the trumpet so everybody around could see them reach into their money bags and give out. Reach into the bags of food and give out. They wanted people to see. And the Lord says, that's what they want. They want to be seen of men. That's what they've got. They have their reward. Congratulations. Everybody knows that you've been giving. I read some terrible stories. When I was studying for this message, one commentator who used to pastor large churches, he said, I had one man who made it a habit. Before I would go into the pulpit to preach, he would always hand me a check. And he was a man of great means. And he handed me that check with a large amount on it because he hoped that when I got in the pulpit, I would make comment of it and I would commend him in front of the church about how much he had given. Just about a day later, his friend came to me and said, Brother so-and-so's pretty disgruntled with you. He said, oh, why is that? Well, he gave you that large amount of money and you didn't mention it before the church. He said, that's right, I didn't. He said, "Brother so-and-so is a man of great means." He said, "Let me tell you something. There's a man in our church who is a mail carrier. He's not a man of great means. But he gave me an envelope and asked me not to open it until after the services were over. That mail carrier gave twice as much as the man of great means, and he doesn't have great means to give. If I were ever to let everybody know who gave, it would be that man who gave much out of his little. But I'm not going to do that either, because he asked me not to." Listen, when we give, it's not so everybody can see what we give. I read another account, said, when you take up the offering, we want you to kind of work it like an auction. We want you to ask the people who's willing to give $100 and have them raise their hand. He said, "Well, why in the world would I conduct an offering service like that? Why would I conduct the offertory like that?" They said, "Well, there's one man in our church that if you don't do that, he'll only give a dollar. But if you'll have people raise their hand who will give $100, he'll give that $100 every time." I want to tell you, friend, if that's the way you want to give to the Lord and His work and to those in need, you can keep your $100. God doesn't need our money. The reason we give is not to be seen of men. What is the reason we give? Hold your place there and turn over several chapters to Matthew chapter 25, if you would please. Matthew 25 and verse 40. I won't get into a whole lot of detail as far as this particular judgment or any of that. But there's a Bible principle here that's important for us to understand when it comes to giving and helping those in need. In Matthew 25 and verse 40, the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw me thee an hungered, and athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." And the Bible principle is this: when you give to those in need, you are giving to the Lord. Amen. Proverbs 19 and verse 17, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord." When we give to others in need, it's not really even about them. We ought to have a heart for them. We ought to have compassion for them. But ultimately, it's not about them. It's about the Lord. Amen. Jesus said, when you visit the sick and the poor and the afflicted and the imprisoned, and you give food to somebody that's hungry and drink to somebody that's thirsty, you're not just giving it to them, you're giving it to me. And when you don't give, you're withholding it from me. The reason we give is not to be seen of men. The reason we give is to show love to Jesus Christ. We also give to show the love of Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:17, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And we can say that we love all we want to. We can sing songs about love all we want to. But love is a verb. Love is an action word. Love is proved by the way that we live. And if we say we love our community, then we ought to demonstrate that love to our community. Amen. If we say we have the love of Christ in us, then we must love those whom Christ loves. And we demonstrate that by helping those in need. So we don't give to be seen of men, but we give to show love to Christ and to show the love of Christ to others. The responsibility of giving alms the reason for giving alms, and would you notice also the reward for giving alms? If you look at the end of verse 1, the end of verse 2, and the end of verse 4, back in our text, Matthew 6, he says, otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. If you give to be seen of men, not only do you get your reward by having men see you, but you lose your reward from God. You forfeit it. You have no claim to any reward. You don't get to say, look at what I've done, God, because God's not going to have any respect for that offering. He's not going to have any respect for that gift. He's not going to bless it. You have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. When we give with the wrong heart, we forfeit the rewards that God would give us. He says they have their reward. But then he goes on to say in verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When we give in secret, how do we do that? He says, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Scribes and Pharisees, they gave with one hand in their pocket to give and the other hand up waving around so everybody could see. Hey, look what I'm doing. But the Lord says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. He's, be secret. Be secret. It's not such a big deal today. You know, you hear the stories and you've heard the history and how they had the big coffers outside of the temple and the big coffers at the synagogues, and they would bring their money in, and it was coins. It was noisy. We don't get to make that big of a show today, do we? You know, the biggest check doesn't make that big of a sound in the offering plate. But you know, some people want you to see. Some people, they're not going to give a check. They want to make sure it's in cash, and they want to make sure it's opened up where everybody can see how much it is. Now, I've never seen that in this church, but I don't pay much attention during the offering. That's between you and the Lord. But I hope you don't want to make a show of it. I think you ought to be discreet about it. The reward. I want you to know, first of all, that it's a reward just to give. Acts 20 and verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's better blessing. It's more of a blessing to give than it is to receive. Now, it's a blessing to receive, isn't it? Have you ever needed help and somebody helped you? Man, it's a blessing when you're in a bad place and you don't know what you're going to do and somebody steps up to help you out. It's a blessing. But it's better blessing to be the one giving. Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? It's a privilege to give to others. It brings greater joy to the giver and to the world. One, because we have grateful hearts because we're able to give. Listen, if you're in a position to help other people, that ought to bring joy to your heart. I'm so glad I can help somebody. Now, some of you could help in a bigger way, and you could help more people, but God's blessed me so I can help some people a little bit, and I'm just glad to help anybody I can help. It's a blessing to be able to help somebody. How can I do that? Because God's blessed me. And so he's put me in a position to help, and it's a joy. Number two, it brings joy to your heart when you bring joy to someone else by giving to them. Listen, when you see somebody that's really in a bad way and you help them, it brings a joy to their heart, and it thrills your soul to see that joy. Amen. And that's a joy that lasts and lasts, because you can always go back and remember, I remember when God gave me the opportunity to help that person, what a blessing it was. It's a joy to give. It's a blessing to give, because it's more blessed to give, because when you receive something, that is the reward. But when you give to someone, God does the rewarding. When you receive something, that is the reward. Somebody gives to you, that's your reward, and it's good. But when you give to someone else, God's the one who does the rewarding. And that's better. Amen. Giving is worthy of the Son of God. Jesus constantly gave to others. Would you consider that he came to give forgiveness of sins? He came to give comfort to the hurting and sorrowful, to give peace to the troubled soul, to give sight to the blind, to give hearing to the deaf, to give life to the dead, to give life everlasting to the condemned. He gave his tears for the condition of our souls. He gave truth to those who had been deceived by the devil. He gave teaching to those who believed. And he ultimately gave his life for all of mankind. Jesus loves to give. And when we give, we're demonstrating the heart of Christ. Do you love to give? The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Do you love to give? You say, well, I don't have anything to give. Listen, listen. You give, trust in God, and he'll provide. Amen. Every time. Amen. The reward of giving. In Luke chapter 12, verse 33, the Lord says, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither man corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says, sell what you got so you can help somebody else. And when you do that, you think you are losing something by selling what you have? No, you're not losing anything. You're gaining because you just traded something temporal for something eternal. You gave up something that's going to burn up someday, but you gained something that will never be destroyed. When we give in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we get his reward. Mark 9:41 says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. It's more blessed to give than to receive, and we have those blessings that are here in this life. But we have those blessings that are in the life to come. There are a lot of people doing a lot of good works in the world today. A lot of people who don't even believe in God do good things. But I want you to understand something, friend. When you don't do it in the name of Jesus, you get no eternal reward. But when somebody comes to you with a need and you're able to meet that need and you say, the Lord has blessed me and I want to be a blessing to you, then you're laying up treasure in heaven. We give the glory to God. We give the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is this thing of giving alms? In Acts 3, a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And you remember Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. So somebody who is unable to work and provide for themselves, when we help that person, that's giving of alms. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. We find out that Tabitha died, and all the widows were there mourning her loss, and they were showing the apostle all of the coats that she had made and given to the widows. So it's somebody who needs money or food because they can't provide for themselves. And Tabitha, she gave, but she didn't give money or food. She gave clothes to those who couldn't provide for themselves. In Acts chapter 10, we read about a man named Cornelius, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This man, Cornelius, gave. He prayed to God and he gave to those in need. He took care of the poor people around him. And the Bible says that God came to him in a dream and God said, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And here's this man, Cornelius, who's just trying to be a good man. He's trying to serve God and he's trying to help his community. And so he gives to their need. But God says, I remember your prayers and I remember your giving to the poor. God cares about how we give to others. I want you to notice also in Acts 24 and verse 17, Paul, as he came back to Jerusalem and was arrested in trouble there, as he gave his defense, he said, now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. What was he talking about? He's talking about his worship in the temple. He was talking about bringing his offering before the Lord. And whether it's bringing your offering and giving it to God in the offering plate at church, or whether it's stopping on the side of the road to help somebody that's broke down, or whether it's visiting and trying to care for somebody that's a widowed or a shut-in and you're trying to help them, whatever it is, we do all of those things in the name of the Lord Jesus. We do them thoughtfully because God's concerned about our heart in our giving. And we do them faithfully because God expects us to give to those in need. And when we do those things thoughtfully and faithfully and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will bless you and He will remember what you've done. We're going to get ready for an invitation tonight. Would you stand with me, please? In our society today, there are many who take advantage of the system. There are many who could work but refuse to do so. But I want to just challenge you tonight. Don't let those who are taking advantage of the system, don't let those ruin your heart towards those who are truly in need. Be thoughtful. Don't just dismiss everybody that you see or everybody that comes around. Don't just dismiss them, but prayerfully, faithfully consider and meet the needs of those who are in need. The Holy Spirit will guide us. He'll show us who we need to help and who we don't. And can I just challenge you tonight? If you're going to mess up, if you're gonna do this thing of helping those in need wrong, help people you shouldn't help. Because God will take care of that. But if you don't help somebody who does need help, God's going to take care of that too. Let's be faithful. Help those in need. Show the love of Christ to others.